honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our meeting, the Committee on Land and Minerals. My name is Ulifile Sefako, the chairperson of this committee. You're welcome. We are just from the local government election, which indeed is yes, that is all. Can you hear me? Oh, thank you very much. It's right at the corner. Yeah. If there is anyone that is on, can we switch it off so that okay. I was just saying we are just from our local government elections, which indeed was an expression of our maturing democracy, the multi-party democracy. We also congratulate and commend the work done by the IEC. We hope all of us were indeed party to that elections. We have all voted, and then we congratulate all of you. I will then hand over to the honorable members to introduce themselves.
I'm Ellen Prince. I'm presenting the recent clip, and I'm a member of this committee. Thank you.
My name is Omi Singh. I'm a member of this committee representing KwaZulu-Natal.
My surname is Pragis, indeed, member of the committee.
Good morning, Chair. Apologies for being late. I'm Kathy Lefkache. I'm representing the Western.
Good morning, everyone. Chairperson Jacques Julius Gauteng, member of the committee, DA.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Faya Schmidt, member of the committee representing Limpopo.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kuvis Juster. I'm the content advisor for the committee.
Good morning, everybody. I'm the power committee secretary.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Amanda. I'm the committee president.
Thank you. Can I hand over to the department also to introduce?
Thank you, Jefferson. I would like to apologize on behalf of Berichi. He couldn't make it today. He's at the cabinet level. So I'll be representing the team. My name is Irene Singo. I'm the CFO. And the team will introduce themselves.
Good morning. My name is Kolile Mbonambi from the DMR.
Good morning. My name is Muracho Kobe. I'm also from the TMR.
My name is Pat Kome Amede, representing the TMR and the Corporate Services DDG. Thank you.
Can we all introduce ourselves so that we can know whoever is in this room?
My name is Kwazi from TMR.
Hi everyone, my name is Kizwel Maleka. I'm representing member of PAPTI.
Hi, my name is Alexa. I'm from PMG.
Good morning, I'm Steven. I'm from PMG.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair. Once more, welcome. I hope we've all introduced ourselves, so you know everybody that is here in. We all have some vested interest in. But let me just go to it. The apology from our side. We have got the apology of Honorable Nabo. I'll then hand over to the department to the presentation. Over to Mama.
Thanks, Chairperson. Indeed, we are happy to be back after a long break, and we did exercise our citizenship gift, and we encouraged all the members of the department to exercise those responsibilities. Chairperson, you have asked us to present the 2014-2015 annual plan, annual report. We have just finished the audit for 2015-2016. So the 2014-2015 is a little bit behind, and where there's updated information, as we present, I think we'll just give you a highlight of where we are, even though we know that you will call us back again for the 2015-2016. I'll present this report with the team here. We have put mine here and safety represented here, and our regulations is also represented, and the corporate services. So I'll do a first few slides, and then I'll ask the corporate managers to also come in and present it to you. How we plan to present it to you is that we wanted to just give you a high-level overview of the sector performance and the annual financial statements as audited for the period, and the program performance in line with the annual performance plan that has been tabled. So the very first few slides, I think, just tries to emphasize the point, the importance of mining in the... Yeah. Mine. The first one there. Okay. Yeah. I think the very first few slides start to emphasize the importance of mining in the industry. And we were just trying to show the mineral price trends during the period and how this affect us as a department and in the work that we do, because some of the consequences of those low commodity prices reflect itself when then you start to see companies shedding jobs and cutting on the cost of investment and so forth and so forth. But we are happy to see now in the past few days, and we hope that the trend will continue. We are starting to see some increase in the prices of platinum and gold, and we hope that the trend will continue. The second slide just shows how the mining tax revenue has increased over the years. With the introduction of the MPRDA, we start to see also the allocation for the royalties that the companies are paying, and therefore contributing positively to the fiscus. The next one shows the investment in rents in the gross fixed capital formation, and this investment, it's the kind of investment that we look for, because we know that if this investment in capital, it will create long term jobs. So we continue to analyze the trends, even though we can see from the mining industry that there's a trend that was up in the 1994 period, and then it goes down, it goes up again, and we continue to monitor those trends to put on interventions where necessary.
I'm not an economist, so I will not go much into the details of those things, but that shows that mining continues to be the biggest contributor to change the lives of the people in terms of employment. If we were to change the situation, is the more investment to get in the mining industry, then we are able to see an increase in the employment sector. Then the next slide shows the financial statements for the bureaus. This is just to show that although all the money that we collect goes back to the fiscus, we deposit it back to the National Revenue Fund, we are able to see that we had estimated that we will collect around 45 million during the period, and we managed to collect even higher than what we thought we would be able to collect. And compared to the previous year, where we had collected almost 109 million, and you may ask yourself, why was such a big drop? And that is purely because of the royalties that we used to collect directly in the department, which is now paid over to the revenue fund. So the next slide just explains what is included in those categories of receipts, which shows that the main source of revenue is the prospecting fees income. The rest are more the administrative kind of revenue, where we charge on penalties or appeals and other income that we collect. We continuously improve on the systems of collection of revenue. From the appropriation side, during the year under review, we had a budget of 1.4 billion, and we managed to spend almost all of it, 99.97% of it. Only 384,000 was surrendered back to the revenue fund, which is mainly due to the certain classification that we cannot move funds around in the last few days. The next slide shows the appropriation the program, where all the program has spent the money that has been allocated to them. Whereas the second one shows the different categories of expenditure, compensation of employees being the highest, and then transfer and subsidies also being the highest in terms of the allocation of the budget and how it has been spent. So from the 1.4 billion that we had, we spent 484 million was spent on compensation of employees, whereas 252 million was spent on goods and services, and 73 on transfer to entities. Entities also have certain deliverables. Some of them are measured in the departmental performance, which the program manager will elaborate on. The compensation of salaries, it's mainly the salaries and related benefits. And if you compare to the previous year, there was a slight increase, but which is mainly the salary adjustment increases. On the goods and services side, our cost drivers is office accommodation and travel expenses. But the travel expenses are linked to the traveling that our officials need to do to monitor compliance with laws and regulations, both man health and safety unit and the mineral regulation unit use the goods and services budget to do the traveling. We have reduced considerably other expenses. Even though travel becomes the highest expenditure, we try to manage our traveling so that it only it's only related to the core business. We've reduced the catering cost and consultant and all stationary related costs. The next one shows the transfer to the entities. How much has been transferred to entities by for all the entities, which is Mintec, which get the highest allocation, because they are also, besides the research that they do, they are also responsible for rehabilitation of some of our mines. They then followed by Council for Geoscience with 292 million. Also, they are responsible for research, but also they are also responsible for the acid mine drainage project, which they are working together with the Department of Water Affairs to try and find solution on acid mine drainage. The next slide shows is that the accounting part of it, which shows the financial position of the department. And Chairperson will remember that in the previous year, I think we had an overdraft, but in the year under review, we managed to manage our finances much better compared to the previous years. From the Auditor General's report, we had, for the 2014-15, we had received the Auditor General's report, and there were still some non-compliance, there were some non-compliance issues on the auditor's report, but we managed to put on an action plan in place and resolve most of the issues that were problematic in the 2013-2014 year of review. The revenue, for an example, in 2013-14 was a big issue, and in 2014-15 we managed to resolve the issue. Same with the adjustment in financial statement, more specifically on the risk commitments and the provisions. We have since put on action plans in place, and we are applying the, we did receive an unqualified audit opinion from the Auditor General, and we have put on improvement plans to try and resolve the issue. We had one issue on the supply chain management, where we did not apply the preferential procurement process in accordance with the law, but we had since put on action plan, and this matter, even in the current financial year, has been resolved. So we will then go into the program performance based on the action plan that has been put forward, and we'll start with the corporate service to give you the program performance.
Thank you, Chairperson. Program, corporate services, program one, corporate services. If you look at the annual report, we read it in conjunction with pages 24 to 33, which has been tabled in the annual report. Corporate services comprises five chief directorates: human resources, communication, legal, special projects, as well as auxiliary services. Achievements of 14-15 for corporate services: we achieved in terms of communication, we were able to communicate all the DMR programs and policies successfully via media briefings, public participation engagements, and positive and balanced newsletters and the newsletters that have been published and broadcast. We also managed to implement the communication strategy that was prepared beforehand, and all of that in the all the strategies, rather, in the communication strategies were implemented. In terms of our contribution to skills development, we had 19 mining career awareness initiatives, which were held for communities as well as students in universities. We had 23 bursaries were acquired for youth to study towards mining-related qualifications. We also had projects that were facilitated for vulnerable groups, about 6 projects for the year. And we also internally within the department that we reviewed all internal processes guidelines and policies, and the numbers are there. We have about 10 guidelines that were reviewed, policies, operations, or other policies and operational level agreements and other processes that we managed to map. We also were achieved 100% submission of the financial disclosures that we have to submit to the public, to Department of the Public Service Service and Administration. And also, as we employ new employees, we were able to screen all those employees, as well as the service providers and contractors that we signed up to do services for the department. We also had a health, safety and wellness program that we drafted and we were able to implement. I think if you can see there, we have pictures of some of the projects that we engaged and we launched. The assistance the photo that you show, the Deputy Minister and the Premier of Northern Cape. And we also had, amongst other, the projects that we had was the Cecil Artisan project which was a learnership project in Secunda, Cecil. We had also incorporated with the assistance of Halakhadi Mine that we gave training for those women in that area, in the Khartoum Northern Cape, where we managed to also award them certificates for the work that they will be doing in their cooperative there. Whilst we managed to achieve a lot of the things that we were supposed to do as corporate services, we had also challenges. And the main challenges is that we have been having a problem with achieving our targets, especially the employment equity targets. This is in relation of our designated groups, which are disabled people, colors and Indians. We are not able to attract them for whatever reason. We don't quite understand, because we've put measures in place to try to attract them to the department by way of targeting them, by way of advertisements, to encourage them to employ and rather to apply for positions within the department. We also have a challenge of retention of skills, especially in the mine health and safety area, where our inspectors leave us, after training, and we lose them after that training, and the replacement of them thereof becomes a challenge for the department. We also have we had a very high vacancy rate, which was 14%, sorry, in the year 2015, against the target of 10%. The reason for that was that we started the problem of finances in filling those vacancies, and also it was also a problem also of our inability, as I say, sometimes to attract some of those people that we lose by way of inspectors, as I said. To try to correct those problems that I articulated earlier was that, as I said, we had a targeted recruitment and advertising, which we we're targeting for the designated groups, and that to retain our skills, mechanisms will be put in place. For example, communicating the benefits of working in the public service through our workshops, and by so disseminating that information to all the DMR group, where we can explain, you know, that it can be good to be an employee of or rather to work for government. To correct the vacancies, we tried to accelerate in that year 14-15. We tried to accelerate the filling of those posts that were left vacant after the resignations in the department. Thank you.
Thanks. The second program is still under Program 1, which is financial administration. Based on the strategic objectives of providing efficient services to internal and external customers, we have put in the target of making sure that the system is always available, and also a target of achieving the service level agreement and improving the device turnaround time. And 99% of the 99.5% has been achieved. System has been available 99.5% of the time, and 97.9% divine turnaround times against the target of 90%. For measuring purposes, we use the percentage, but our belief is that if when we are providing support, we do not respond timely, it has got a negative impact on service delivery. We continuously improved implementation of processes and systems, and the plan targets for system master plan were fully achieved. These are projects related to making sure that our ICT systems are aligned to the core objectives of the department. In terms of managing the financial resources, we ensure that cash flow is managed continuously, and that's why we managed to spend 9.7% of the budget compared to the previous year, where we had to surrender 6.6 million due to improper cash flow management. So in the year under review, there was quite a lot of improvement. In terms of promoting corporate governance, they also, we have ensured that the action plans that have been agreed upon with the Auditor General and the internal audit has been implemented 100% compared to 69% in the previous year. The challenges that we had incurred in the year under review was to ensure that invoices are paid within 30 days. We had achieved low 99.6% of all the invoices that we received were paid within 30 days, but we have since strengthened the controls to minimize the cases of late payments of service providers. And the Mine Health and Safety will come in to present the program to.
Good morning again, honorable members. On the issues of mine health and safety, in terms of our first strategic objective, which is to promote health and safety, we've seen an improvement of about 26% with regard to the number of fatalities that were reported in 2014-15, that's 2013-14, because of 96 fatalities that are reported in the previous year. This was 71 in the reporting period. Also, we saw a lowest fatalities and injuries recorded during this reporting period. Our platinum and other mines, excluding gold and coal sectors, recorded a reduction in fatalities of about 41% and 32% respectively. Also, a 40% and 22% reduction was realized in trackless mobile machinery accidents as well as on fall of ground fatalities respectively. We were so fortunate that during this reporting period, there were no disaster type accidents reported in the period. On the next slide, on the issues of occupational health, we saw that occupational diseases reported by coal and gold sectors reduced by 17% and 15% respectively. Silicotuberculosis, silicosis and coal workers pneumoconiosis also reduced by 27%, 26%, and 25% respectively. There were about 523 audits that were conducted, as well as 8,555 inspections during the reporting period under review. And 62 tripartite workshops were conducted versus a target of 40. And also the branch managed to host a successful health and safety tripartite summit in collaboration with Mine Health and Safety Council. This particular slide tries to indicate that since 2004, there's been some strides in terms of a reduction on the number of diseases reported by commodities. As you see from the slide, that the overall number of occupational diseases reported in 2004 versus the ones that were reported in 2014, we had a reduction from 10,526 to 6,577 occupational diseases reported by the mining industry. And it also shows different commodities, and all commodities have shown an improvement over the years. The following slide tries to make a comparison between the clinical causes of deaths, where we made comparison between the deaths as a result of respiratory diseases to deaths caused by mining accidents in the mining sector. From this slide, you can see that in terms of the number of deaths caused by respiratory diseases are very high compared to the deaths caused by mine accidents in the mining industry over the years. However, in both cases, we can see that there has been reduction dating back from 2003. The following slide tries to make comparison in terms of fatality frequency rate by commodities dating back from 2003 to the latest information that was available at the time in 2015. From this slide, one can see that all the commodities have shown an improvement in terms of fatality frequency rates, and the coal sector being the one that has really shown significant improvement compared to other commodities. But in general, all the commodities have shown a downward trend in terms of the frequency rate. The following slide touches on the actual fatalities as well as the and the rates per region. We've got about 10 regional offices in each province. From this slide, one can see that the number of fatalities that were reported in 2013 dropped from 93 to 84 in 2014. And in terms of the rates, there was not an improvement in terms of the rates. However, if you look in terms of the, if one looks at the individual provinces, one can see that Northwest although it had 21 fatalities, but the fatality frequency rate was at around 0.08. And then the Western Cape, there were no fatalities during the reporting period, as well as Eastern Cape. And it then also indicates all other provinces in terms of the fatality rates that were achieved during that particular period. Then the contributor to the fatalities over the years has always been the fall of ground accidents, as well as transport and general machinery. This slide tries to indicate that from 1993 to 2014, there's been a significant improvement in terms of the fatalities reducing, and the highest improvement being on the fall of ground at 92%, followed by transport at 81%, and general type of accidents at 80%. The next slide talks to one of the issues that the branch has insisted with, which is illegal mining. The department continues to address illegal mining activities, particularly in Ekurhuleni, Gauteng. Ekurhuleni is considered to be the hub of illicit activities, also as a result of the close proximity to the airport. There is a continuous change in the modus operandi of illicit activities, and as the government and relevant stakeholders implement measures to ultimately eradicate the illegal mining operations, a three-pronged approach is being followed to address illegal mining, namely promoting legitimate mining, law enforcement, rehabilitation, and sealing of holes. Next slide, also continuing on issues of illegal mining. The promotion of legitimate mining, the department issued mining permits to conduct mining in Ekurhuleni and Riverdale, which resulted into 300 local people being employed. And illegal mining interventions in terms of law enforcement, two suspects were arrested in Kempton Park for being in possession of illicit mined gold. The suspects are believed to be part of a legal mining syndicate that has fabricated fraudulent invoices worth about 437 million to reflect purchases of second-hand gold jewelry. South Africa tabled a proposal at the United Nations, which subsequently led to a resolution entitled Combating Transnational Organized Crime and Its Possible Links to Illicit Trafficking in Precious Metals to be adopted. Rehabilitation and sealing of holes. The department, in collaboration with the Council for Geoscience and Mining Companies, continues to seal open shafts and holes that have been identified. 200 workers were employed during the sealing of shafts and open holes by the CGS. The next slide indicates the legitimate mining outcrop around the Roodepoort area, which has been also been monitored by the department. And the next slide reflects of it's an indication of the Beskop spray mine around Ekurhuleni, which has been rehabilitated before and after, and also indicates the effectiveness of rehabilitation done afterwards. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Chairperson. Our presentation can be read as the tabled annual report, page 41 to 45. On mechanism to streamline the licensing process for mining and environmental and water authorization. As the department, we managed to successfully implemented the one environmental system with effect from the 8th of December 2014. The arrangement of this system was that the Minister of Mineral Resources will be the competent authority and the Minister of Environmental Affairs the appeal authority. Only as far as the mining related environmental issues are concerned. As a department, we went back and reorganized our structure and the standalone chief directorate for enforcement and related national environment management that has been established and is being capacitated and strengthened. So as of the end of the financial year under review, we trained 77 officials on air quality and management ways and waste management and environmental and mineral resource inspectors. We also, through GIS, enhanced our SAMRAD, South African Mineral Resource Administration licensing system. In the year under review, we managed to conduct 1,856 environmental inspections and also issued notices, compliance notices. You can see as per the province, Limpopo, we did 268 and issued 56 notices. Mpumalanga and 284 and notices 63, and Northern Cape 165, and there are no notices. Free State 201, no notices, and Northwest 304, we issued 119 notices. Housing 173 inspections, we issued 27 notices. KwaZulu-Natal 156 inspections and we issued 150 notices. Eastern Cape 164 inspections, we issued 11 notices. Western Cape 141 inspections and then we issued 27 notices. So we went on and conducted 263 consultations and engagements with communities. Where we had to resolve matters between communities and their mining companies. So these are the numbers. In Limpopo, we did 42, Mpumalanga 16, Northern Cape 29, Free State 24, Northwest 45, Gauteng 65, KwaZulu-Natal 12, Eastern Cape 22, and Western Cape 8. Due to the depression of the commodity price and as a result, the retrenchment by mining companies, there was a need to intervene and design a plan to avoid job losses. So mining industry leadership stakeholders meeting was convened. And that led to the development and adoption of the Declaration of Saving Jobs. So we came up with a 10-point plan intervention, and which was adopted. It had milestone and with timelines, and it's being implemented. So these were some interventions that we came up with. We agreed that retrenchment. Implementation of retrenchment should be delayed and enhancement to the productivity and managing the cost pressures of the mining companies should be looked at and accelerate the concurrent rehabilitation activities so that we can create alternative jobs for mine workers and also the facilitation of sale of distressed and depressed mining assets. Other alternatives to avoid job losses also need to be looked at. Support for mine workers in the event that job losses cannot be avoided. and also the utilization of the multinational companies' procurement levy to also support the employment opportunities for retrenched man workers, and to streamline the processes for downscaling, updating the database, and exploring fiscal instruments, investment promotion, and market development, also to manage communication of the whole issues of job losses and so forth. So, key progresses at this stage, alignment of our Section 52 with Section 189 of the Labor Relations Act, and business processes mapping has been finalized, and mining sector specific standard operating procedures is being finalized, and 40 commissioners of the CCMA have already been trained, and a memorandum of understanding has been finalized between CCMA department and Productivity SA to address this matter. So we managed to implement social and labor plan projects, 133 in total. They included construction of roads, schools, clinics, and other critical infrastructure. And this also contributed towards job creation in the country. These are the projects completed as a province. We did 21 in the Limpopo. We created 319 jobs. And in Mpumalanga, we did 27 and created 493 jobs. Northern Cape, 14, created 2,089 jobs. Free State, 17, and created 1,048 jobs. Northwest, 15, 475 jobs were created. Gauteng, 16, 459 jobs created. KwaZulu-Natal, 8 projects, 126 jobs were created. Eastern Cape, 8, 143 jobs created. Western Cape, 7, and 236 jobs were created. So these are some of the projects finalized, social and labor plan projects finalized, if not all of them. This project for housing in Rustenburg addressed issues of housing and living conditions in the area. And the next one is Anglo Ashanti, is a computer center, library, and science laboratory, together with 5 classrooms in Northwest. And the next one is wastewater plant and toilet in Free State. The next slide is the flushing toilet ablution facility and a school in Ulundi KZN. And underneath is a tourism center through Richards Bay Minerals. It's also in KZN. And the next one, the learning center in Western Cape. A clinic, a housing project, and community health center. These are in Malang through various mining companies. And this fire station also is in Mpumalanga. And this one is a clinic, Ekurhuleni, Gauteng. The road construction between Kurumani and Hotelsville in Northern Cape. So this is an agricultural project in Eastern Cape, hydroponics, and you can see they are taking their stuff here. And these are classrooms in Limpopo. They are still from construction until the final product. And that will be all from our side.
Thank you.
The last program is the mineral policy and promotion, and in terms of ensuring that it is sustainable resources and management, the department continues to improve on the environmental management framework, and during the period under review, the management environment framework has been developed. And we continued to rehabilitate the derelict and ownerless mines at 50 in line with the budget available. I think we had presented in the past that the budget for this is not adequate to rehabilitate everything, and some of the projects also take time. The next one just showed the example of a project in Limpopo in the Ditabohong area. The picture before the rehabilitation and the picture after the rehabilitation. The next one is the project in Gauteng, which shows the shaft before the rehabilitation and what the picture looks like after the rehabilitation. In terms of ensuring transformation in the sector, the Mine Health and Safety Amendment Bill has been drafted, and the NEDLAC process has been finalized, and it is in the process of things that linkage to Parliament. The program also finalized the African Exploration, Mining and Finance Cooperation Bill, which it is currently, it has gone through the cluster, and the DG clusters as well, and I think it's being processed as well. The next project was the year under review. It was the year where we reviewed the complex of the mining charter, and that has been completed, and the outcomes of the process is what is being used now to review the mining charter for 2016. With regard to the MPRDA, at that point, it has been prepared back to Parliament. We are aware now today that the Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources is sitting today also looking at the bill, and there's considerable progress there that is being made. In terms of investment in the sector, the department continued to support the framework agreement for sustainable mining industry by monitoring the implementation of the framework, and there were a lot of consultative forums between business, labor and government. The partnership has been established, and this included bilateral with Canada, continuation of publications on the mining sector, and the active participation of stakeholders in the ocean pakisa, so that the win-win situations can be implemented, and most of the action plans from the operation pakisa has been successfully implemented together with the Department of Environmental Science. Continuing with the promotion of investment in the mining sector is the regulation for petroleum and exploration, which has been drafted, and the inputs have been finalized. There was also an impact study on the strategic environmental assessment, which was done with DIA and Department of Science and Technology. The shell gas communication strategy has also been developed, and the NEDLAC continued to have a dialogue, including the dialogue on the platinum group metals resources intervention. From the international front, the department continued to participate in the Association of Diamond Producers. The department also participates in the African Union structures through the Ministerial Forum, and they continue to have a bilateral with other African states, for an example with Niger as well. Other engagements include the Kimberley process, which the department is part of, the China-African mining, the Australian Down Under, the Prospectors Development Association of Canada, the World Economic Forum, the International Geological Congress, and the Mining Endeavour. We have got a framework in place which we continuously assess our intervention and with the international communities and take those action plans and put it as part of our annual performance plan. And that is the report for 2014-2015, and we continue to implement some of the targets that could not be achieved in that year. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I think we've got ample time, so as we engage in some discussion, honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, there are some refreshments there. You can just grab, get seated, and then we continue with right. Thank you. And it will be input questions. Honorable Pakis. Yes. Honorable Lamas Dachne. Okay. Honorable Julius. Honorable Smith. Alright. In that order, we'll.
Chair, let me appreciate the time and the presentation of the department on the annual report. I was attracted by the last slide, but then only the topic or the heading, the policy achievements. I was not attracted by the content thereof, but only the title, Police Assurance. Now, Jonathan, from where I stand, policy achievement that we need to internalize and put emphasis on daily basis, hinges on four items, if not five. In the policy achievement on job creation, skills development, issues that pertain to environment, monitoring the impact of our laws on the ground, and the institutional capacity to enforce those laws. Now, my view will be that every time the department comes to this committee, the policy achievements, look, we can convene and participate on international platforms and forums, but for me, those platforms are useless if we cannot create jobs for people and reduce the level of poverty, if we cannot have necessary skills. The issues of beneficiations, that's supposed to impact. Now, when you talk of job created to be 5,238, I want to talk with the department chairperson in the context of the new growth path. The new growth path says by 2020, mining alone should create 140,000, and we are now in 2016. Now, I want to link that to say, I mean, if I can coin my question this way, do you see yourselves as the department progressing, increasing the pace to meet that goal of 140,000 jobs? Now, that should be connected to your slide 54 on interventions on job losses. Look, I want the department to empower me when you talk of investment promotion and market development, utilization of multinational companies, procurement levy, to also support employment opportunities, delaying the implementation of retrenchment. And the group that I'm talking about, Shay, talks of the number numerically, but linked to that is the quality of fresh jobs created. Now, I will be happy, to be honest with you, when you come to us, you emphasize these 5 points that I've highlighted. Because I can count how many times and frequently we've been participating on the World Economic Forum. What are they? But how does that participation for me, for a layman who's poor, translate to that man to have food, to have shelter? So, the 10 point interventions that you have highlighted in your presentation. Slide 51. 1,856 inspections were made or undertaken. These inspections, please share with us, CFO, on behalf of the DG. These inspections, how does they add value, or are just inspections for the hell of it, and for the sake of compliance? Because there are laws that deals with many aspects in our country. A classical example, issues of environment. Because our research shows that somewhere somehow there's a lack of institutional capacity to enforce our laws. Give us a strategy, talk to us about the strategy to enforce our laws in terms of issues that relate to environmental assets or environmental aspects. Look, if we talk of skills, would you say to us as a department, issuing 23 bursaries for students and giving 342 to the group to review the methodologies applied to produce mining charter scorecard, and giving 5.7 million to assess compliance with the broad-based socio-economic charter for mining industry. What should be the priority? Remember, we do research, we have researchers in Parliament. Now, I'm just saying, you give bursaries to 23 students. And if we are to talk about the long-term and impact of our policies and the long-term achievements of our policies, what should be the priority really? I don't care who took that decision. I don't care who benefited. But 23 in the entire country. Yes, even if it can be for 12 months or annual. If you read the same goes past, I will emphasize it because I know the inception and where it's coming from, the new goes past. The issue of skill in this country is a very big issue. And if you say to us, you gave bursaries to 100 students who must study in the universities and different institutions, or focus on skills that are related to the sector, I will personally fine with that. The other issue, explain to us the impact of this. I mean, our information says 5,338 indirect jobs were verified. And the issue of The number of jobs in the parliament is an issue that will forever emphasize as members of parliament because we call ourselves public representatives. Share with us the strategy. Yes, I've seen it in your presentation that even the button polls, but then share with us a strategy on the retention of the personnel, more so on inspectorate. Because information that we have says you continuously leave, lose personnel to the private sector because of this, of course, the level of salary. The last issue represents us to give other members an opportunity. How do you handle the issue of liquidations in this country? Do you see yourself succeeding? But I want this presentation to go and members from our bureaucracy share with us and empower us. How do you enforce and monitor our laws in this country? Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, sir. Maybe before for our members coming, one link to point raised. Are there consequences that perhaps you can highlight of the non-compliance that has been picked up by some inspector? Either the closing of a mine that was not compliant, is there any mention of maybe perhaps one or two things?
Thank you, Chair. Unfortunately, I also have a few questions. I'm going to start off on the presentation, page 90, on the Auditor General's report. The last sentence there, I would like to know what internal controls did the department do or were implemented since 2014, because that is an annual report of 2014 there, a little way forward now, to ensure the reliable financial reporting and compliance with legislation. It says here, it needs to improve. I want to know what did you implement since the report. Then I'm going to go to general. And the first thing, because we are dealing with the annual report, and in a way it's not really effective at the moment, because whatever this committee say now cannot be incorporated in the annual report of 2015-16. So in a way it's a fruitless exercise, but for maybe you can tell us why were these things done and can be incorporated in the next one, because the time frame is actually not helping us in improving the way we understand the report and be able to do oversight because of the times that we do it. From the 2013-14 report, the targets have been dropped. Now, there's one or two reasons for that, and I would like to know, another you spell it out, okay, either the target has been revised and adjusted to make more sense, or it's an easy way for the department to be able to achieve the targets as set out, because previously they didn't achieve the targets as set out. And I want to know what is the real reason for that. Then the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research, or this whole thing being made in the report, in the big report, and sorry you've mentioned it here, on the importance of the focus on mine research and development. And there's coordination between the Council of Geoscience, MINTEC, and the Mine Health and Safety Council, and so on. So, I would like to share through you to request the department, maybe you could just give us a little sort of a, what is it, has been done, the highlights. But I would like this department, or to invite the department with all these role players, to give the report, the select committee, a report on what are they doing and what is the impact of the focus on research and development. Because I think it's a good initiative, and if you take that to the National Development Plan, research and development is something that's very important for a country to move forward and to stay effective. And then I would like to know, let's just go. Then I would like to know what would be the improvement be since the 2014-15 report, where there is not exact measurements on, and Honorable Park is also referred to that, and I totally agree with him, reporting on environmental mineral resources inspectorate. You report on the number of inspections, that kind of thing. But a clear-cut sort of, this is the reasons why we undertake it, this is how we decide who's going to go where and when, and how many mines are there in each province, and there needs to be all that kind of information, and the target is not really very clear. So what improvement, because it doesn't help me to ask you now and to tell you what we need to see, what improvement will we see in the annual report of 2015-16? Because that annual report's already been written, should we? We have the, in our way of to see it next month. Then I would also like to know, agree and say, there's no baseline in this annual report. If we talk about, for instance, just an example of the instructions on the, in terms of Section 34 and in terms of Section 55 of the Mineral Health and Safety Act, you say that you've reached this percentage, but percentage doesn't help us. We would like to have the numbers, and we would like also to like to see how many of them have been instructed. And also, in addition to this, also, nobody mentioned this, and I remember in a previous meeting, I asked how many the number of administrative fines has been imposed during the year, so how many of them have been instructed and has been done this. I'll get to the because now. Then I would like to know why as the MTA discontinued the mine inspector training project. According to this report, it had been discontinued that year. So I think the appropriate question would be, what is the status of the mine inspector training project at this moment? Because this is quite a while ago. In this report, it indicated that it was discontinued. So what is the status at this moment? Then on the mineral health and safety promotion program, did the department establish a baseline by now, since 2014-15, on the total number of occupational diseases? Because it was stated at one stage the number of reports increased per year, and it sounds as if the measurement is just to calculate the number of diseases from all these reports. So there must be a way to establish the baseline and say so many mines have to supply so many reports per year, because you can't take this as a measurement. Say, for instance, one year, as here in 2013, there was 761 reports, but in 2014 there were 836 reports. Now, in 2015, there may be 1,000 reports, and in 2016, maybe there will be 1,500 reports. And that cannot be a measurement that is sort of effective, because as the report increase, you understand what I'm asking. Did you establish a baseline that we can say this is a true reflection of what is really going on in occupational diseases? Sorry, I'm nearly finished. I just would like to know what is the timeline or for the tabling of the Mine Health and Safety Amendment Bill. My colleague, Honourable Park, is referred to policy and that. And I think there's a few policy and legislative issues, and I agree with him that we need to sort out. And one of them is ask about the timeline of the Mine Health and Safety Amendment Bill, as well as if we go back to the other one, the African Exploration Mining and Finance Corporation Draft Bill for the state-owned mining company. Then also the implication of this Pluma Bill that was promulgated on the 1st of July 2015. According to that bill, the holders of the rights of minerals must have any land they use for mining appropriately zoned by the relevant municipality. Does the DMA or assist right holders in any way? What is the role that the DMR plays in this process, in the implication of the One Environment system and promulgation of Struma? Then also, the DMR reports that it has applied the law 100% when granting licenses and mine closure certificates. Mine closure certificates that you report on, that I just need clarity. That has been old report at the moment. That mine closure certificates ensure that in future there will not be more ownerless and derelict mines. Because at this moment we know that we have a backlog, and that majority of the finances is the responsibility of the government, of the department, and it's a big thing. But as you now say that you adhere to it 100%, will that ensure that in future that will decrease? And then the two other big things that I need to... Okay. The one other big thing that I need to... Sorry. I would like the department and again an agreement with Honourable Parties. The mining legislation it actually promote mineral beneficiation. This department said that you're not going, or in this annual report doesn't report on beneficiation because it's DTI now. But there is no indication in the change of policy or legislation whatsoever. So, chairperson, the new chairperson, acting chairperson, I would like the committee to ask the department to come and do a presentation on the change in the policy and the change in whatever changes that you don't report on beneficiation. Because according to me, legislation determines a beneficiation policy or a beneficiation actions in your department, and you say you're not supporting on that. So we want a presentation on that to the committee, please. Then the last thing, I would like to know the Environmental Mineral Resource Inspector of the EMRI. If that would be a possibility that the department would consider, that department can also do a report on an annual basis, because that is a big issue. It's a big contentious issue in the press. You yourself raised issues that there was an increased consultation with communities that I assume very often comes from the implications and the impact of environment versus human and so on, because the Mine Health and Safety Inspectorate produces a comprehensive report, an annual report on their things, and since 2007 the Department of Environment published a report on environmental affairs on compliance and enforcement, but that does not include activities of like DMR and water affairs. So in a way it slips through. And the reason why I raise this again this morning is very often when we meet with the department, these are the questions that are being raised from the province's side and say there are environmental issues, there are compliance issues, and what does the department do about that? So could the department please think about the possibility of reporting on that on an annual basis? And that would be my questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate Wilson. The issues that I will not be included in this report, but which actually touching on some of the aspects. You mentioned the AMD projects with the Department of Water and Sanitation. I just need to know, or let me put it this way, can we get a report on this? What was actually done? Where was it done and when was it done? What was the impact of it? Because it's good to come and say, right, we did these projects in terms of acid mine drainage with Department of Water and Sanitation, but what's the impact of it? Can we, through the committee secretary, can follow up on that? Can we maybe get a report on AMD and the impact? Where was it done? When was it done? And so forth. And then also, Chairperson, can we also get a report on what's the impact of any interventions in the stressed mining towns? Specifically, there's a challenge that we have in Merafo, the old Carltonville, where there's a court case coming up, and they're about to lose all assets, and you know that municipality will be bankrupt in 2 days after the court case. Can we get a report on what's actually happening in Merafong at this moment? What's the intervention of the department and the impact of the intervention so far in terms of the stressed mining towns, with more specifically Merafong and Western area, the two mining towns close to each other? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question or questions will be relating to page 51 of the presentation. Firstly, I think it's important for us to have more details specifically relevant to our different provinces, the notices that was issued, you know, to look into that and specifically see what the specific problems is. So if we can have a more detailed layout of these notices that was issued. I would like to know, because this is basically a reaction to existing mining activities. And I've asked this specific question to the Department of Environmental Affairs, who referred me to mineral resources, who referred me to water affairs. You know, so such a ping pong game being played here, not to take responsibility. So I'm asking Department of Mineral Resources on the Volspruit mine in Mogalakwena in Limpopo. How did it happen that a prospecting license was issued to a mine in an ecologically sensitive Mills Flay reserve area? I want to understand that, because we've got bitlines there that isn't found anywhere in the world. Okay, that birds fly from Europe, come and you know, in the spring and summer time to come and breed there. Yes. So I would like to know how that happened, because this is a reactive action. So how did we allow, because it's number one, it's unlawful to mine within a free land area. Okay, and this is a very sensitive ecological free land area. And there is speculation that there's even more prospecting licenses being issued within the area. Okay. My second question will be regarding the social labor plans. How or what criteria is used to determine whether that is sufficient? Because we found, even when we did oversight in the Northwest, that municipal officials and councillors are complaining that the department are sidelining local municipalities in terms of the IDP, because all those should be included within the IDP of different municipalities. If I look at, again, Mogalakwena local municipality with the Anglo Platinum mine and the Platreef mine that's busy opening up there, they do a contribution towards bulk water services. And meanwhile, the roads is in a horrific condition. I mean, it's a danger. A lot of people are dying on that piece of road. It's about 30 kilometers. And when I specifically asked Platreef in a public consultation process, they said, oh, but we already contribute towards water, so we can't contribute towards roads as well. So the question is, how do we determine, because obviously establishing a mine within a municipal area has got certain extra burdens on the infrastructure of that municipality. And that should be kept in mind. And how are we ensuring that is happening? So my question is basically, how will the department ensure that actually takes place and that the proper consultation takes place with the municipality and the needs that is necessary for that mine to operate within the boundary of the municipality? Then, one thing, social responsibility. I mean, we've got a case, again, in Mogalakwena local municipality with the Anglo Platinum mine that signed by the time that Minister Ramaklodi, I believe, was still the Premier of Limpopo, a 30-year water agreement for 37 cents per kiloliter, okay, for 30 years without escalation, okay, while it is now costing the local municipality 7.20 approximately to process the water. So what's happening is the community of Mogalakwena are sponsoring a mine for the water supply with a requirement of 6 megaliters per day that is required. And if that is not complied with, it must be substituted with fresh water that's going to cost even more. So, that contract is, I mean, it's 30 years. I've worked it out roughly, and it's approximately 500 million rand, benefits to the mine in exchange for some shares and whatever. So I would like to know what's happening with regards to that, and what's the possibility of reviving that agreement as well, because we can't allow that communities are sponsoring mines on water supply. Thank you.
Right. Thank you very much. As one of our members has indicated that they're from different provinces. I'm also representing the Northwest, where we are seeing the mushrooming of this the plateau. The issue of social labor plans, but I want to raise the question of the labor spending
In this page, we only dealing with social labor, or is the labor sending also included in the project that I mentioned here? We know very well that the success of the mining industry was through the blood and the sweat of the laborers that are coming from all areas of South Africa, in the deep rural areas. Perhaps the question of labor sending can also be reflected as how maybe through all these provinces, how do you perhaps identify the possibility of ensuring that in these provinces, more particularly the most rural ones, do enjoy such support? Is it the initiative of the province, or perhaps is GMR that is identifying such, what is also the criteria that is perhaps being used? Thank you. Perhaps I should now allow the department to respond. Okay. Can we do that, honorable members? Over to the department.
Thanks, Chairperson. We appreciate the comments and input that we have received from the committee. I think some of the deliberations were more comments that we can take with and work on and improve on as we go forward. And Chairperson, I understand that the ZESCOM, most of the people are from the provinces, but when you present from an annual report perspective, it becomes difficult to zoom into the province specifically, because we are reporting on the target we have set, which has been tabled and accepted by Parliament. So our reporting will be skewed delicately, because it will focus on what we said we are going to do versus what we have done. So I will ask that the Chairperson, if there are specific things that the members want us to come and present on. I remember last meeting we had agreed that we can come and have a workshop with the committee where we can just share this information, because it becomes difficult to share all the information in the annual report format. But we appreciate the inputs that we have received from the members. And this brings me also to the question of Honorable Lavasani on the issue of the baseline. When we table our annual performance plan, we try to look at this is where we are, and this is the budget that we have, and with the little budget resources that we have, these are things that we are going to do. And we always attach an annexure on the annual performance plan that shows the baseline of where we are coming from. And sometimes as bureaucrats, we will use numbers because sometimes it does not talk to the people on the ground. And then that is a reporting framework that we continue to improve on. And on the issue of skills and capacity building, we have reflected here just the 23 bursaries that we have offered, where we are looking at the baseline that we have as a department, and also the funding that we also take on from the Mining Qualification Authority. However, there are a lot of other skills development programs that we put in place as a department in consultation with the mining industry. One of the requirements is that on the mining charter there are targets for skills development, and that is reported separately through the mining charter process. Here we are only reporting on the capacity building that we have put through the budget vote that we have received. We continue to build skills in the mining industry. Like for an example, we had Chairperson, they were asking about
the effectors program, we had put people, almost 50 learners into the program. In this current financial year, in the 2015-16, which we still to report on, we managed to absorb some of the learners and speakers that we trained through our capacity building programs. The environmental issues, 2015 financial year was the first year that we have implemented the one environmental system. So if we have started implementing it in December, it means for the 2015 financial year, we only had 3 months. And during that period, already in preparation, we were training environmental specialists through the University of Pretoria program, so that by the time we implement him, we have got people with adequate skills. So we have got limited financial resources, but the little that we have, we are trying to ensure that our inspectors are capacitated, our environmentalists are capacitated and are able to do the necessary program, and my colleagues will come in again and add on that one. On the issue of job creation, we agree that we have to do more to stimulate job creation. We have just been speaking about all this intervention that we need to put in place, making sure that new mines are opened so that we create more jobs. As a department, we look at the applications that are on the pipeline and say which of the applications needs to be tracked because it has got a potential of creating jobs. And my colleagues will add more on the job creation strategies that we are putting in place. On the issue of beneficiation, yes, part of the work is done by DTI, but on the MPRDA, we had specifically created a clause which allows for strategic minerals to be identified for beneficiation purposes. So MPRDA finalization of the bill will help resolve some of the issues that has been raised. Unfortunately, as you are aware, the bill process takes a long time in terms of processing in Parliament and all that, but we have done at least all the steps internally as a department and remain available to try and make sure that all the bills that are on the pipeline are implemented. The issue of liquidation, and I think my colleague will add on, is an area where we identified that there's a weakness in the liquidation process, where maybe the department does not get consulted on time when the company goes into liquidation. And there's a project that Mr. Mabuza is working on with the state attorney to try and bring us on board earlier before it's too late in the liquidation process. In the area of the bringing the entities that are responsible for search together to do a presentation, I think we are open to that. We there's a lot of work that we are doing together. Even in the Department of Science and Technology, they normally bring all of us together so that there's no duplication in the work that we do. And I will ask my colleague Ms. Kore here to share more on the SLP and the consultation process that we have with the municipalities on social labor plans.
Thank you. On social and labor plan projects, we have since admitted both department and other relevant stakeholders, including municipalities and provincial governments, that working in silo will not assist us in this process. We have since sat down in some of the areas to align our plans, because we've realized that we all have plans somewhere in our offices. In order to contribute towards development in an integrated manner, we agreed to sit down and assist our municipalities, because we felt that some of the IDPs were not helping us, and we were both frustrated as DMR and the mining companies. For instance, in Sekukuni, we've already had a master plan on how can we integrate, how can we develop, contribute towards development in an integrated manner. We sat down with the district municipality, the local municipalities, and identified the projects that will find their way into the IDPs of that municipality. Both the municipalities, Mahoshis there, and the mining companies were part of the process. So it will be rolled out throughout the country in as much as we want to address the issue of implementing social and labor plan projects that do not impact positively towards the communities. And I think in Sikukun, most of the projects now are in the pipeline. We identified a lot of infrastructural projects of big magnitude. The first project, we were doing roads in the area. We identified roads. And the second project is the bulk water supply is being led by the province we are supporting. So this will assist in terms of identifying social and labor plan. We'll be talking from the same hymn book. I think that is the progress that we've made thus far. I think on issues of environmental inspections, we, on annual basis, we do come up with a plan of what needs to be monitored and enforced measures, corrective measures in areas where there's non-compliance. We've been mandated through MPRDA to ensure that mining takes place in a sustainable manner. And with the experience of the current derelict and ownerless mines that we as government unfortunately had to take over the responsibility, it is key and critical that at all times we as the department we monitor compliance with the issues of environment. Hence, we as the department go out as planned, as per the inspection plan, go and conduct such inspections to avoid a situation whereby at the end of the day we inherit environmental liabilities. It's required by law that we should conduct inspections to avoid such liabilities, because once we realize that the company is non-compliant, we immediately take or instruct that corrective measures be immediately implemented. Then if not through follow-up inspections, the department is also empowered to either suspend or cancel the license. So the 1,856 inspections, it includes both the mining permits, prospecting rights, and mining rights. So, in actual fact, we are expected to inspect each and every mine each year, and sometimes you are forced to go and conduct follow-up inspections. But with the capacity that we have, we need to prioritize, because we cannot, or with the limited capacity, we are unable to inspect each and every mine each and every year. So then that's why we have to identify and prioritize and conduct inspections as planned. So on issues of downscaling and the concept of job saving, I think we can still come back as the department through a workshop and take the honorable members through this process. And I can touch on some of the issues, but maybe it will be proper to come with a detailed presentation. The honorable member asked on what does a certain thing mean, delaying retrenchment. We all know that the process of retrenchment is dealt with through the Labor Relations Act, Section 189. We come in terms of Section 52 as the Department of Mineral Resources and ensure that companies manage retrenchments or downscaling in a human manner. So this process, you cannot do it in 50 days. Because on the side of Section 189, you've got 30 days, you can ask for extension for further 30 days, and then within 50 days, the company and CCMA will be done with the process, and before you know it, employees will be retrenched and they will be sent back home. So hence we requested that let's delay process in order for us to minimize the impact and save jobs where possible. So that's why this agreement in the declaration. And I can also touch on facilitating sale of distressed mines and other mining assets. We also envisage that companies are retrenching because of a financial pressure of the commodity price decrease. Then others are just putting mining assets under care and maintenance and shed the jobs. We said let's look into a position whereby, or a situation whereby, a company can release the asset to potential miners who can assist in saving the jobs, retaining the jobs, and utilizing the asset in a profitable manner. That's what we meant. And other alternatives to avoid job losses, like concurrent rehabilitation. We know that there are dams sitting somewhere, and most of them, they still have a value. We even offered that we can release money that is sitting somewhere or in our coffers for rehabilitation, that companies can utilize the money and absorb some of the employees that were could be retrenched. But through concurrent rehabilitation, we can create jobs for those employees. And we know that the multinationals contribute a levy, and we were saying to companies, let's look into that kitty and see if we can create jobs, alternative industry to absorb people who will be affected by job losses in the mining industry. So I think we can, with the blessing from the acting DG, that we come back and present and give progress on some of the issues.
Speaker could come in. Activities. The response that we are getting confirms what we say or talk about. And on the institutional capacity to enforce, monitor, and inspect all mines. But in the department, we know, remember, we are members of the society.
We know that resources will never cover every corner in our country. But the worst and tormenting part of it is that mining companies or the private sector is aware of our limitations and gaps, and they use that as an opportunity to exploit and do as they wish. But then we should be having a shrewd foresight to say this is where we want to go, and to achieve there, this is the strategy that we must employ. Now, today we don't have the capacity because resource-wise we have strange resources that cannot cover every corner. Come on, 18 DG. Supposed to say, in these circumstances of having strange resources, this is what we plan, this is our strategy, medium and long. Because for me, I cannot sit here as a member of parliament and accept the department to say, we don't have capacity because we don't have resources, while millions are being smoothed out to consultants. Please, come on. We want to treat you with dignity, but we'll engage you on what we think as members of parliament. Really. I want an answer from the chairperson.
Chairperson, I get the point of the honourable member, and if we had presented it in such a way that we are saying we don't have capacity to do compliance, I don't think that is what we meant to say. What we are saying is that we are put on targets. Chairperson, the honourable member has asked specifically for environmental, and I have explained that for environmental compliance, we started implementing it in December. It means the 3 months that for that financial year, our focus was on training, and we had allocated budget for training the officials. Hence, we are reporting that so many officials have been trained on environmental compliance. So we have put on capacity there to ensure environmental compliance. In the past, we did not have a unit specifically responsible for compliance because it was under water environmental science. We then created a chief directorate specifically to monitor compliance on environmental. We had compliance on other issues, compliance on MPRDA, compliance on the mining charter implementation. And the target we have put in here was based on that. But over and above that, over and above our target, obviously, which is this, which is risk-based, the numbers that we decide to say, these are the number of inspections that we're going to do. The mine that we select is based on the risk assessment of which provinces we can, which mines we can look at. We have also developed a list of hotspot areas where, as executives, as top management, we keep our eyes on. We're just looking at it again last week to say these are the hotspot areas where we must always be on the lookout of this area because of the community disputes and the environmental damages that are taking place. So you can forgive us if the impression you're giving is that our hands are tied. No, we have put on targets, we are ensuring compliance, and where capacity needs to be built, we are putting capacity. It is the reality, though, that there's a ceiling on the compensation. Minister of Finance has announced he cannot employ more people. So it means we must do with what we have, and doing with what we have is prioritizing and reprioritizing and prioritizing. So that's where we come in terms of inspection. I think there was a question on mine health and safety that you will answer, and the skills one that Makamde will answer. So if you have to add on the skills one of that. Yeah. It's up to the mind and safety.
Thank you very much, Captain Kishi. I can thanks for the questions, honorable members. I think the question that really relates to issues pertaining to health and safety in our presentation. The first one will be on the question by Honorable Nabuskasne around
the importance of mining research and development, and we appreciate the invite on a detailed presentation on including some of these entities that works with the department to give this committee a detailed sort of presentation on the outcome of the research that has been done so far. However, it will be important just to mention the few specifically on Mine Health and Safety Council that through the Mine Health and Safety Council, the department has conducted a research on security, health and safety matters involving women in mining. This was based on a number of incidents that were reported in our mines as a result of security of women at mines. Then the Mine Health and Safety Council embarked on a research on this matter. And based on the outcomes of the research, a guideline was developed and is being implemented on the awareness material to protect the security of women underground. And also on that note as well, as part of that research, the issues around protective clothing for women, we have also developed some clothing that are suitable for women miners, because as you will know that in the past the majority of people working in the mines were males, and the PPE that was designed for the males. So this project also looked at the types of PPE that is suitable for women, and we have managed to come up with suitable PPE and the guidelines that all the mines need to comply with in terms of purchasing this type of PPE that accommodates the women in the mining sector. So, but furthermore, on this matter, Honorable Nabos Khakna, I think it will later on, obviously, with other entities, as you have mentioned, we will welcome to come back and give you more detail on other work that we have done. And the other question was around the baseline around Section 54 and Section 55, which might not be appearing on our presentation. And the reason being that we, although I think the committee is fully aware that we as the department, we have been embarking on issuing some of these notices where applicable. But unfortunately, in terms of our presentation, it might not have appeared, and we welcome that we can give a full detail of the numbers of these instructions that have been issued. In terms of the report that we normally prepare as the Mine Health and Safety Inspectorate, in terms of the Section 49J, where we are expected to complete a report on health and safety at mines and activities of the inspectorate for each year and submit such a report to the minister within 3 months. That report has been done, and it has been also submitted to Parliament on details of Section 54. It has been just an oversight that maybe we did not on our presentation zoom into the numbers. However, we've got a full report that details how many numbers of 54, Section 54 that has been issued during the reporting period, and what the issues were relating to those Section 54. And also on the issues of administrative files, similarly, that report contains a detailed report on administrative fines that have been recommended and issued by the inspectorate. However, it is important to mention to the committee that although we strive to issue some of these administrative fines, we do sometimes experience challenges of being taken through legal processes by people which fines are being issued against, which then delays the process in terms of ensuring that some of these fines, but quite a substantial number of fines have been issued and they've been paid by a number of mines, and we will try and get a detailed report in that regard. I think the chairperson also wanted an example of which of the mines maybe where we might have issued these instructions. Although sometimes, chairperson, we also very much skeptical in terms of mentioning the mines, but we will share with the committee in terms of the details of this, because we do keep records of instructions that we issue to the mines, and for the purpose of the presentation, we thought that we'll just touch on the high-level issues that out of those instructions that were issued by the inspectorate, there were those that resulted in a total closure, and those were about 22%, and 78% were closing part of the mine. So we will also try to get a detailed report in terms of if the specific mines that where these instructions would have been issued. And the last question was around the baseline on occupational diseases. It's true, Honorable Laskafne, that on our presentation we might be reporting that in terms of the law, that requires that every employer must submit an annual medical report on occupational diseases. That has been happening over the years. But in 2018 and the years before that, in terms of our report, the reason why we might not have specified a baseline, it was because of the issue that the tuberculosis, the majority of the mining companies were not regarding tuberculosis or reporting on tuberculosis and HIV and AIDS in the mining industry. Then there was an instruction that was issued by the department compelling mining companies to report on these cases of tuberculosis as well as HIV/AIDS in the mines. And since then, we have managed now to start building up a baseline on what the information has been since then because of that instruction. But prior to that, and because of the issue that it was never regarded as an occupational disease until first time that we issued an instruction. And moving forward, I'm sure we will be able to share information as in terms of the performance of the industry in as far as tuberculosis as well as HIV and AIDS in mind. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
I think on the issue of the labor sending areas, we just don't have the details with us. We can do that analysis and give each other.
Well, thank you very much, Chair. Honorable members, I hope you are all happy so far. But I hope there will be thank you. That's right. Thank you. Thank you very much, honorable members. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll appreciate in our next meeting to see the minister of this department. I hope to see him once in possible. If so, we'll end up not even knowing as the committee. So really, we are longing to see if it's not, they cannot always, all three of them be committed. At some point, we would love to see at least one of them, particularly if the minister is not in, let the deputy has also be. Because indeed a critical issue that we would really want to have the committee also engaged. But however, really we appreciate collectivism, say that we're also part of the key. The local municipality is the sphere also of governance. It is where all these things are happening. Because the country one base, any mining activity is happening at a particular ward of a local municipality. Where there is a distress, we would love to see any sense of communication and input that engage this local municipality to be eyes of the department, because they are the ones that can pick it up immediately and also report or give support in kind to the MR. We will maybe just a word from the acting DG. The final word that we will then I'll then close the meeting.
Thanks, Chairperson, for the opportunity, and we will send the message to our principals. Today he would have been here, this cabinet Lokuta and both the minister and the deputy minister and the DG is there. That's why he could not come, but we will give the feedback, and we just want to commit to this committee that we continue to be committed to improve the lives of our people, and we'll ensure that the laws and regulations that are applicable in this country are enforced and are implemented on a daily basis. Thank you.
Honourable members, let me release the department and wish them all well, going back to their activities. But the honourable members will remain seated so that we can complete our business of the day, the adoption of our minutes. I think we have 2 minutes to adopt. Thank you very much, honourable members. We start with the 23rd of May, 24th May.
I get the proposal.
The second, who is proposing? Honorable Prince. Honorable Singh, second. Who is that? Okay. Oh, Honorable Parkis. Thank you. Honorable Tuyas, are you saying? Hello, you just there. Who's second? Okay. All
right, I was also here. Second, thank you. In the face of my honorable parties, is there any second? Honorable Singh. Honorable Prince. Okay. Second. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much, honorable members. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Okay, but on the program for next week, please.
It's program for next week. Okay, let's
Thank you, members. We had a meeting scheduled last week. I was informed by the programming officer that it's now a plenary. So.
A plenary. Joint plenary.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Joint plenary or plenary?
I'm not too sure, manager. It was from the morning, right in the afternoon. So the meeting has to be cancelled. They cancelled our meeting for next week.
What was the content supposed to be?
What was it, meeting? Small scale fishing.
Okay.
It was the agriculture policy fisheries.
Okay. And then the last thing is, what is the planning on, is there still going, if the outside week is going to go on, but when are we going to get the plan? If next week we don't have a meeting, there's no time and space for us to plan, to know what's going on. Because then, according to me, the next week is the visiting week, isn't it?
Yes.
I lost it somewhere. I've seen in the program that you are going somewhere in KZN. But then, I'm not sure whether I'm too mad. I thought our oversight week, Chair, will, it's just unfortunate Prince is not here, we'll make follow up, we'll go back to where we were last year. In Limpopo and Northwest. Because we promised our people to come back there and convene them and convene different stakeholders. Because look, my attitude is very precise and simple. It's useless for us to have an oversight week for the sake of having it. Without any impact. Unless, JJ, there are pressing reasons and matters and aspects that forces us to change the focus. You know? Yeah, the collective will guide me, but from where I stand, I still believe that we need to revert back to where we were.
Welcome, input, honorable parties. And of course, we did agree that indeed we'll make a follow-up to those two provinces where we have done our side of support. But I hope there was provision for that. Let me first check with honorable, with Auckland advisor here.
Sorry, thank you for that. That still doesn't answer my question. When are we going to get the program and how are we going to be prepared? Because if each and every member in this committee have a different meaning or different view on the oversight, that will come out the first place that we're going to meet. And that is not the way we should be perceived. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I hear what you can understand what honorable member is saying. Maybe in the next week
we can look at a day that we can meet. Even when there is this fitting, can we find space of maybe coming earlier? Let's make it maybe 8 o'clock. Let's meet for 30 minutes or 8:30 on Tuesday. Okay. That's the suggestion.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, if I'm correct, I think that day is a day on the oral questions for 8 minutes. So I assume we haven't had a WIPS meeting or a programming meeting in this. We only started today. We only normally have it early in the morning, but today we only have it at 12:30. So I'm open for an early morning meeting on the Tuesday. I don't have a problem with that. As long as we sort out, my suggestion or my request would be for the program to be emailed to each and every member, and then to just have a meeting so that we just sort out if there are glitches and things that could be cleared out here and not when we are in the bus or arrive at the first venue or something like that. Thank you.
The principal decision was taken last term that the committee, because we conduct joint oversights, the Select Committee on Land and Minerals has always been the one leading on the previous oversights. So the decision was taken that, I think it was after the Kruger trip, that the next one or two trips would be led by Mrs. Prince. Based on that, it was then at the end of last term when members went for elections, we spoke to the chairs and the whip at the time, and we came back, we agreed we're going to case against Richard Bay, which Mrs. Prince was going to do the entities. We chose Isivan Kaliso, which was also in that area. Coming back to Mr. Parker's issue about the follow-up, that will take place in our next oversight, where we will be following up on Safgol, Limpopo, and all those issues. As far as the program is concerned, the political application was only approved, it was submitted a couple of weeks ago, it was only approved last week before ministers came back. Based on that, I already have a draft program. My mother is busy finalizing flight and accommodations stuff. So that is how the pieces of puzzle fit. That's why if members want, I can email them the draft program they have thus far. As far as coming to the question raised to the committee's importance in this area, that with Corbis will come in as far as what we're going to do in Richards Bay.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of our programming, we are unfortunately now disrupted next week on what would have been Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries discussing their small-scale fishery program and the implementation of that policy. We are dealing with a conflict of interest between two of our departments. Environmental Affairs is mandated to expand their marine protected areas. They are clashing head-on with Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries attempts to expand fisheries. We've had Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries trying to raise the issue in our meetings without the other department present, which isn't correct procedure. What we therefore wanted to do is to have them together in the same venue at the same time to discuss the matter and to come up with a clear understanding of what the clashes are in terms of policy and legislation and the NDP. We would have had the briefing on the Department of Agriculture's stage of development of this small-scale fishery area, which would then be augmented by background research on what Environmental Affairs is doing in terms of fisheries and marine conservation. Unfortunately now we're not going to have the chance to have that discussion with Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries before we go on oversight. What I can endeavor to do to deal with that problem is to supply the information that we would have gotten from Agriculture,
as fast as possible, and to also supply the background information document faster than normal so that it's not distributed on site. The details of what it is that the departments will discuss with us, I don't have yet. We have put questions to them almost 2 weeks ago, primed them on what we would like them to help us with. We haven't received anything back, so we are still in the process of putting the background together. But the oversight basically revolves around two aspects of the NDP clashing head-on, and these two departments needing an opportunity to resolve or start to resolve that challenge. That's what the oversight is for.
Thank you, members. There's one other issue that I forgot to... We've completed our meeting today. Mrs. Prince is meeting tomorrow. Next week there's no meeting. Members must are advised that Papa has been returned by the President. The Performing Animals Protection Amendment Bill has been returned to Parliament. There was an issue in the House. Procedure dictates that bill gets referred to the committee. All the committee has to do is pass a short report to say we concur with the President's reservations, and the committee refers the bill back to the House, and then that bill has to be dealt with properly in the House. Now, we have to find time this week to deal with that bill. So, we are all here. I'm open to suggestions. When could we have that meeting? That meeting should not take more than 30 minutes. Because all that we need to do is correct, number one. Number two, to say that we concur with the President's reservations, and the bill has to be referred back to the NCOP, the House, the committee, that has to be ATC that report.
Honorable President, suggestion? Because Papa will be here, immediately we are done the items of communication, we discuss that matter.
Thank you kindly.
Chair, in regard to the oversight, I have a challenge myself personally.
Yes.
I'm on leave at that period. And I know you're coming to kick it in, and it's a family commitment that I put in leave for that period. So I just want to inform the chair that.
Okay.
much.
Sure. Thank
you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.